heard the American people. No more blank checks for President Bush on Iraq.
Non-binding means non-leadership. It's non-accountable. And I don't think it's the right message for our troops. This is a political charade.
It's hedging a group less capable of making tactical decisions about specific troop deployments than 535 members of Congress.
This simple resolution will establish the first marker. Those who want to draw down the U.S. presence will be on one side of that marker. Those who want to take further steps into the quagmire will be on the other.
No longer will Congress stand by while the President wages a war that defies logic, common sense, and human decency. This week, we shall take a stand. This week, we tell this administration, enough is enough. Stop ignoring the American people. Stop ignoring your generals.
This resolution is all about staying the course. It says support our troops and don't engage a new tactic. Going down the same path. That's not good enough.
But the fact is, the president, no matter which party he or she happens to be from, is the commander-in-chief. And we are at war. And it was a war that was authorized by this Congress. And we should not be, I don't believe, setting the precedent of adopting resolutions, questioning specific strategies.
And that was a little bit from the debate that is ongoing in the U.S. House of Representatives. Shalom, Truth Seekers. It is I, Aaron Freeman, on the Mike Malloy Show. What's important is that it is the Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio. Delighted to be back with you for another couple of days. We are going to talk and listen and hear from you about your views on the Iraq war debate, the escalation debate. Plus, there were some very interesting new little tidbits about Democratic strategy that came out this afternoon. Now, you know, I am delighted, as I like to mention, I'm delighted and honored to be here on the Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio to have this opportunity to hang out with y'all just a little bit and talk a little bit. And last night we had, for the whole 3 hours, my ace buddy Ray Hanania was here, and we liked it so much, so we asked Ray if he would take a little bit of time out of his busy parenting and writing schedule to join us for a little bit again tonight. Ray Hanania, welcome again to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank God it's the best.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you are, my brother. So, were you listening to the debate at all today?
How could you avoid it? That's all I've been talking about. You know, and it's really funny because nobody's really talking about the real issue. They're all worried about how they're going to look on this issue. That, to me, is just, you know, it's just phenomenal. Depressing. Red, blue, it doesn't matter. It's like, how are we going to be interpreted by the voters?
Well, no, I don't know. I'm not quite sure, my brother, I agree with that. Because you're being provocative here, I see. Actually, you're being provocative, but don't worry. It was just a wonderful thing. It was very fun. It was a very interesting debate. And I actually learned, first of all, I thought the Republicans made some really fine, before I get into this and my own opinions and views on this, I want to encourage our listener to give a call at 1-800-989-1480. That's 800-989-1480. What did you think about the debate? Did you listen to the debate? I would love to hear from people who support the escalation, although I know that there are many.
Well, call it an escalation.
Surge. That's right.
Boosting, right? Not a surge. There are different words here, right?
Well, okay.
Are all those words?
I
surge,
think of it as
escalation.
A further thrusting is another
right.
a further thrusting. It's a manly uprising.
That's probably the most accurate description I've heard so far.
That's right.
Being thrust from behind.
I understand. But, of course, as you know, there are a lot of people who really believe that this is, and the Republicans made this point over and over again, that a non-binding resolution is just a failure of leadership. It is just an act of cowardice. It is nothing. And if you're really serious, if you have the courage of your convictions, anyone who had the courage of their convictions would simply vote to end the funding, or at the very least have a binding resolution. And that was what they, what a lot of them said. However, there was a fine rejoinder to that. Representative Maxine Waters and others have said they absolutely intend to cut funding. They have, I think the Waters amendment will fully fund the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq in 6 months' time.
So she's really coming up with a response that says, hey, we're not cutting funding. We're going to increase funding to bring them home.
Right.
That's a good response.
I like
very
that one
smart.
Very much. Very
That's
much.
Very, because the Republican message is, hey, whatever you do, if you undercut our troops, you take away funds, you do anything, you're going to hurt our boys, you know, and gals
right.
who are fighting there, and that's a no-no.
Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, began the debate by saying that, of course, we all support the troops. Like, duh. Obviously,
right.
we all support the troops.
Well, what are they afraid of, then?
Well, this is you know, this is the wacky world of political rhetoric. It's just whatever you can say that polls well, and supporting the troops polls really well, and everyone is terrified of being a...
Aaron, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Isn't this like the vote that they had in Congress 4 years ago, which, you know, the Republicans continue to point out and say, well, you know, every member of Congress voted for this war, so now, you know, you sent us there. It wasn't just us, it was you. Aren't they kind of putting the Democrats in the same boat saying, you know, that you have to do it this way, that you're going to vote not to undercut the troops? And isn't somebody going to come back and say, hey, you guys voted to keep the troops there. Why are you yelling at us?
Well, now, again, as I understood, as the debate unfolded, the impression I got was that the Democrats want to get as many Republicans on board opposing the surge, such that in another couple of weeks, when the funding for the surge comes up, they will be able to say, hey, you guys voted, you said you were opposed to the surge, now you want to fund it? I don't
right.
think so. And
right.
so the Democrats are attempting to put the Republicans into the same kind of bind that they themselves have put into some years ago. But we are very interested in chatting with you, dear listener, about this little wonderful, wonderful and highly entertaining debate. And it really was. I know that it's very easy kind of to dismiss them all as mere politicians. And I enjoy dismissing them as mere politicians, but I found this quite, quite edifying. The number is 800-989-1480. Now, we are going to be taking your calls in just a few minutes. We actually have some calls up here already, but we have some lines open if you'd like to call into the Mike Malloy Show. I know that Malloy's listeners are highly motivated, very, very plugged into what was going on, and I'm sure that many of them were like me. Just glued. Well, I was glued to my my computer because that was the only way I could get it. I don't know if you saw it. Now, where did you, I don't know where you watched it, right? But I was watching. MSNBC said they were going to cover the whole thing. They were going to cover it all. And their MSNBC's version of covering the House debate was to have images without sound over in the left corner while the actual anchors were talking about Anna Marie.
So they're just kind of interpreting. You know, I have a real problem with Glenn Beck. I can't watch MSNBC and I can't listen to him, and it really. So I was bouncing around all the different stations. I have a problem with Fox News. It doesn't leave me a lot of places. So I ended up spending most of the day, as I think a lot of smart people did, reading some of the news reports for themselves about what was being said.
Yeah, that was what, you know, that's certainly what MSNBC was doing. They would periodically come in and say, oh, why, by the way, our gavel-to-gavel coverage is
right.
Going on, and they're debating over there. Here's a couple of things that a few people have said. But it was, of course, now you, let me just take one brief moment to say you
yep.
were in Chicago, Illinois, so some of your listening time must have been consumed by shoveling time.
That's all I did today. I've shoveled my driveway, which is about 35, 40 feet long.
Eey.
I have shoveled it 5 times today.
Oh,
and so that makes up for all that benefit of global warming we had, you know, earlier in January and December, the benefits of global warming, where I actually had the air conditioning on, I think, in December when it got too warm.
But no, you were not. I bet you were not. Do you know? Do you have your phone set up such that you can listen to streaming audio from the internet on your cell phone?
I am not. I'll be honest. You are. I may be the most moderate Arab American in the world, but you are the most technologically savvy person I know.
Well, all right.
I follow your lead, my man.
Well, I just found out about it. We're going to take a little break here on NovaM Radio on the Mike Malloy Show with Aaron Freeman and my good buddy Ray Hanania. We're going to come back on the other side of this break, and we're going to take your calls on the Mike Malloy Show. We're talking about that debate that's happening for 3 days in the House of Representatives.
Makes me nauseous. Hannity and Cohn, the drones for these greedy corporate monsters. Fitting lies to the public, they love it. Republics intimidated and controlled by color codes where lie becomes truth and truth becomes myth. Lost in the Rupert Murdoch and Clear Channel abyss. If you don't agree with Bush and you're unpatriotic, even if you've never known a man this psychotic in control of the so-called free and the brave, you become timid and afraid, eager to become slaves. The Patriot Act is good for the people, like saying the Bush regime will protect us from evil. How many lies can they tell in just 4 years? I say the worst is yet to come, so it's time to prepare. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say.
My colleagues, in a few weeks, lies, the war in Iraq will enter its fifth year, causing thousands of deaths, tens of thousands of casualties, causing hundreds of billions of dollars, and damaging the standing of the United States. American people have lost faith in President Bush's course of action in Iraq, and they are demanding a new direction.
That was House Speaker Nancy Pelosi with a little technical glitch in there. Aaron Freeman is here on the Mike Malloy Show, Truth Seekers, being joined by my good buddy Ray Hanania. You still there, Ray?
Yo, man.
I know you were. And we were talking a little bit about we'll talk a lot about the debate, the very interesting debate in the House of Representatives about the Iraq War. And then the funding attendant thereto, and the strategizing of the Democratic Party trying to pull a little noose around our Republican brothers and sisters and make them sweat a little bit, make them stop the war, ultimately. Our number here is 1-800-989-1480. So, Ray, I assume that even though you're critical of some of our political guys, you do basically assume goodwill on the part of all our politicians?
No, I think they're all lying thieves, okay? I'm going to be honest. Voters said they want us out of Iraq, and I haven't heard anybody in any position of power say, hey, I heard the voters, I'm going to do what they want, we're going to get out of there.
Well,
everybody's afraid, at least in my opinion. I think they're afraid to just do something because nobody wants to get blamed later on or have someone point a finger and say you're unpatriotic, because that still is a scary word to have thrown at you. It's about as scary as someone opening a door in a teenager's home and meeting Chris Hansen, okay?
but, now, as an Illinoisan, let us say that, and I'm not trying to push Senator Barack Obama, but he has proposed...
I love Barack.
He has proposed to have all the U.S. troops out by, I believe it is March of 2008.
Yeah, but even then, I think that's kind of disingenuous because it's a year before the presidential election. And that is a year from now, right? I mean, you know, I don't know. I would like to hear him say, I want us out now.
Well, you mean immediately?
Yes.
No, but wait, there have been lots of studies of the Iraq Study Group, even the Iraq Study Group and the National Intelligence Estimate have said that a precipitous, sudden withdrawal of U.S. troops would leave a vacuum into which God only knows what chaos would pour. Would
flow. Do you think it could be worse than what we're going through in Iraq today? I don't know.
Yeah.
I, to be honest, let them deal with it in Iraq. I think it's our fault we threw them in that mess, but I also blame the Iraqis. I think they allowed us to come in, and they should stand up and resolve their own problem.
Whoa. But there's 25 million. There are 25 million Iraqis, right?
Okay.
25 million people. Not all of them. I mean, you can certainly argue nicely that the majority of the Shia population were not fans of Saddam Hussein, and you can further argue,
correct,
the Shia who are about 60%, and it is certainly reasonable to argue that The Kurds, who are 15 to 20%, certainly were very happy to see the Saddam Hussein government go down. But
sure.
That would I'm not positive we could reasonably expect that there was unanimity even within those communities. And so that there was a majority, but I'm not sure that it's fair. Do you think it's fair to say those people wanted us in and those people deserve what they get?
Well, I think that they should take the controls of their own destiny themselves. I really think that, you know, we're doing what they should be doing, and we really shouldn't be doing that. They should be doing it. They should have tossed out Saddam Hussein. We should have helped them to do it rather than doing it for them. I think that's really the big mistake.
Well, that was the plan. The plan was to go in, have a quick lightning strike, shock and awe, knock out the Saddam Hussein government, hand it all over to Ahmed Chalabi, our boy, before his
before they realized he had some problems with his contracts and buddies
in Jordan,
sweetheart
right.
deals.
Before he was imprisoned in Jordan, and
right.
then leave. And that was
right.
kind of the idea. But let's hear from some of our viewers. We're here on
yes.
the viewers. It's not television. But we're going to take... Okay,
viewers of the war.
The viewers of the war. But actually, we're going to take a little break right now in just a second. We'll get where our lines are. There's a couple of open lines, but we are here on the Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio. Our number is 800-989-1480. Chatting with Ray Hanania, but we're going to be chatting with you, dear, beloved, and most treasured listener on Nova M Radio.
Robert Taft of Ohio said 2 weeks after Pearl Harbor, criticism in a time of war is essential to the maintenance of a democratic government. And just 10 days ago, President Bush told House Democrats, I welcome debate in a time of war. I do not believe that if you don't happen to agree with me, you don't share the same sense of patriotism I do, the president said.
That lovely lady was none other than the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Representative Nancy Pelosi. You're welcome, Truth Seekers. You are here on the Mike Malloy Show. It is I, Aaron Freeman, joined once again today by my ace buddy, Ray Hanania, and we are taking your calls about the beautiful and interesting and oh-so-democratic House debate on the Iraq War. Uncle Ray, what do you say we talk to some folks out here?
Yeah, let's go to the phones and see what the public has to say.
That's
no one
right.
else is listening to them except us.
That's right. Okay. let's talk to Andrew in Poughkeepsie. Andrew. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Hey, Andrew.
Thank God.
Hey, how you doing? About the Iraq War debate, it's like now everybody's ducking for the presidential, you know, their positions, and we're looking at the polls and everything, but I would say that the American people would be more interested in which candidate right now or whatever who has thrown their hat in the race, what is their plan to get us out of Iraq and in the conflict in a reasonable manner, respecting humanity, if Iraqis would finally come up, think that would be more presidential-like. And the person who's looking to be president better start acting like a president now.
Well, now, did you see any of the debate, Andrew? Did you follow the debate today?
Yes, I saw some of the debate. I read some of the, you know, I was mostly reading online, but...
And most, you know, the Democrats, now what do you think about the Democratic plan to get as many, the apparent Democratic plan to get as many Republicans on board criticizing the escalation or the surge, and then to hold them to that criticism when the vote for funding comes up in 2 weeks?
Well, I think that, you know, yeah, they should get any Republicans on board. They kind of have to. And, well, actually, they don't, but it would be good because that would show that, you know, there are fissures happening within this regime, and that would can only, you know, help the American people.
So does that seem to you? Good.
I think it's not crucial. They don't, you know, but it would be good if they can get as many as possible.
And you've seen that apparently, depending on who you talk to, who you are listening to, there could be some anywhere from 20 to 60 Republicans who will jump ship, abandon the president's policy.
20 is good. And, I mean, 20 is good.
20 is 20 very is good. Good. Out of 200 some, that's a very good deal. It's a very good number of them.
Yeah.
So would you?
I think that would be good. And like I said before, it's like with Obama, like I know the poll numbers are, you know, he's doing well in the polls right now. And, you know, he's one of the
one or two, depending on how you do. That's right. One or two.
Yeah, how you look at him. And, you know, but I usually just read the stories and see what he's saying.
Now, but you say you read the stories. Do you actually trust what you read in the U.S. mainstream press?
Not really, but I read a lot of stories, so, you know, sometimes you can piece things together, you know. And what I see is that he's taking a middle stance right now. It may have a little left flavor, but it's pretty much towards the centrist, and he's not really divulging a lot of exact plans. And
what do you understand Barack Obama? Well, tell me, what do you understand Barack Obama's position on the Iraq War to be?
He's against it. He was against it for a very long time.
But does he have a plan for getting us out of it?
I really haven't heard too many. I mean, he said we don't need to be there and yada yada, but I want to hear some more specific, you know, hardcore stuff.
He says March of 2008.
Hmm?
He wants all U.S. troops out by March of 2008.
That's not good enough, and that's one of the things that, you know.
You think it should be?
I agree with that.
It should be a shorter period of time. I mean,
I
we
want
don't have
him out sooner too.
But do you now? Many people, including the Iraq Study Group and the National Intelligence Estimate, say that if we leave too quickly, it will now Obama's line. And again, I don't mean to be, and I'm not. Let me just say that I'm not an Obama sycophant. What Obama says is we must be as careful in leaving as George Bush was reckless in getting us in.
Well, I'm sure our military is pretty capable of vacating an area in a reasonable amount of time.
Well, that's
I mean, there should be some kind of guidelines out there that, you know, or some historical data that proves that, you know, hey, this is how you should have an exit plan.
Well, here's
and
historical
I'm sure
data.
Even if we don't.
Here's the
don't
historical
have a,
data.
Okay.
Let me remind you about this history.
All right.
That they said that if we withdrew from Vietnam, there would be a domino effect throughout Southeast Asia.
Oh, the domino effect. I love that. The domino effect.
And now
effect.
They're using this same argument to say, oh, if we rush out, we're going to lose the war in Iraq and it will spread all over. Like, they're not saying dominoes because they're avoiding every reference to Vietnam they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that when we say, what's the plan, nobody's proposed the plan. And the plan is very simple. There's only one plan. Start removing our troops.
Exactly. And that's it.
There's no other plan. What plan could
be,
How long
did it take us to get out of Vietnam when we did start getting out? How long did it take us to evacuate Vietnam?
Well,
yeah, it was fast when they finally decided to get out of there.
But do we really want to see another fall of Hanoi? Do we want to see more?
Well,
do we want to see the Green Zone evacuated with Iraqis hanging on to
The helicopters the way they did.
Yes. Seriously, Andrew, now, is that something you would
be comfortable with? That's where we're headed. If you wait to March 2008, that's what you just might be doing.
Well, there is a difference, though. Don't you guys think that, you know, in Vietnam, we really saw the collapse of the South Vietnamese society and government, whereas if we were to pick up and leave tomorrow in Iraq, they'd still have an Iraqi government under siege, but far stronger than the South Vietnamese, you know, were when we left.
And there will be one less irritant.
Ray, what makes you think that the Iraqi government could survive for 30 seconds without the U.S.?
Well,
I'm not sure they can survive. I just don't think they're as weak as the South Vietnamese were.
What makes you think
when
that?
We decided to pick up and leave, I think it was the South Vietnamese that quickly changed over to the North Vietnamese uniforms and started firing on us as we were flying out in those helicopters.
All right. Well, Andrew, thank you so much, my brother. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. Let's take another one here right quick. Let's talk to Bill in Sacramento. Bill, welcome to the Mike Mullah Show.
Will I be next?
Yes, you are. You are now. You're not next. Oh, you are now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you had to shut the other guy off. You know, you were talking about what would happen if they left real quick.
Yes, a precipitous withdrawal is what the term. A precipitous, yes.
I think we have to be careful in this particular thing because this particular group, the PNAC, has they've already disrupted Iraq enough.
You mean the Committee for a New American Century?
Yeah, well, they're all mixed together. I can't keep them apart.
but when you said PNAC.
Well, okay, the people that are pulling Bush's chain
okay.
and that are really orchestrating this,
okay.
The plan is to go in, break up Iraq, get control of the oil, and then rearrange the whole Middle East area.
That was certainly the dream.
So they've already accomplished quite a bit of that, and they've put in place a puppet government that is that in the background while Bremer was there, they've already executed the contracts for oil. All the major people have their oil contracts, and so the next phase of that was to.
You know something that I don't know.
What's
my
that?
Understanding is, well, no, you, I mean, my understanding is, for example, that in Iraqi Kurdistan,
mm-hmm.
the Kurds have made their own individual deals, not only independent of the United States for the oil. They've made deals not only independent of the United States, but independent of the Iraqi government. And I further understand that in the southern oil fields
mm-hmm.
around Basra, that the huge number of those, the majority of those contracts are being let with Iranian firms.
That's not exactly true.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Explain it to me.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. Part of the plan is to break up Iraq into three or four different areas, and then have a federalized kind of a deal for dispersing monies. And the people that they put in there, though, however, have been holding back after the bombing of that of the Shiite
mosque.
Then they got a little arrogant and whatever, and so they've been kind of disrupting the plan. That slowed them down a little bit. But the plan is to get that broken up into three or four areas and create an industrial zone right on the edge of Israel for the Palestinian people to go to, because Israel's plan on keeping the water aquifers and all that area up in the Golan Heights. The Kurds are going to have their little area and so on and so on and so on. But the main thing is that America will have control of the area because they've got 14 bases there. They didn't build those by accident.
Well, there's no question
and
what
the
their
embassy,
plan
they
was.
They plan on being there.
So you think the plan is working?
Yeah.
So the Bush plan in Iraq is working?
Right. So if a new president comes in, he's going to have the problem of trying to make sure that we, piece by piece, we undo what's been done, the damages. And make sure that they're steady again, and that they've got a way to distribute the oil monies, and that those contracts have been nationalized, so that our American companies can't continue
right.
to dominate that.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate your call. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. I'm Aaron Freeman, hanging in here with my good buddy Ray Hanania. We are talking about, obviously, the debate on the Iraq War that is going on for the next couple of days in the U.S. House of Representatives. Give us a call at 800-989-1480. It is Nova M Radio. It is your radio. It is the revolution that you are going to be a part of, and it's may not be televised, but it'll be on audio.
Scenes, I said, I'm not your stepping stone. No!
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. That is Aaron Freeman. That's me sitting in for Mike Malloy, joined by my ace droogie, Ray Hanania, talking to you, taking your calls about the big House debate on Iraq and the emerging Democratic strategy to lasso those Republicans, bring them into the anti-surge fold, and then smack them down and force them to help with cutting the funding for this ridiculous escalation. And let's zip on down to, Oh, let's talk to Ed in North Carolina. Ed, you are on the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome, Truth Seeker.
Hello.
Hi, Ed. You're on with Aaron Freeman.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing? Hey, just got a question for you. What do you think Iraq would be with if we hadn't gone in and Saddam Hussein was there?
Far more stable.
The same
far
thing?
Far more stable?
Let me tell you something
about the Arab world. Let me just tell you something about the Arab world that's so important that nobody understands. The Arab world is like a collection. It's like kind of like a unruly kindergarten with some really tough kids. And they need a father figure that can really put his foot down and force people to do the right thing. That's why when you look at all the Arab countries, they have these tyrants and dictators that they oppress their people, they tell them what to do, and you have some semblance of order. Saddam Hussein was that answer
to the turmoil we see today. Let me just mention that the Palestinian Authority is not a tyrant.
So you're saying that he was a nice guy?
No, I didn't say that. I said he was a lousy dictator, a horrible leader, but he was the responsibility of the Iraqi people, not the American people.
But I would further point out that under Saddam Hussein, people did not fear to take their children, to let their children go to school. They didn't fear for their lives. And further, I would point out that under Saddam Hussein, Americans could run around there, American reporters, UN inspectors ran around there and went wherever they want without fear.
Yeah, well, they went without fear because the secret police kept everybody in line.
Well, the secret police exist in every Arab country, including our allies.
And also in the United States.
And Jordan.
Let's not forget,
there are secret police.
Jordan, Saudi Arabia is not a democracy.
And Saudi Arabia, too.
They're basically buying off what Saddam Hussein did wrong was Saudi Arabia basically buys everybody. It's easier to build roads and hospitals and health care than terrorize people. Saddam ruled by terrorizing everybody.
Well, so does every government in the Middle East.
Yeah, I know
that. The Palestinian Authority does not rule by terror. But
I'm Palestinian, and I disagree with that.
Okay.
Do you support the Palestinian cause?
Yes, I do. I don't support the Hamas cause, though. I support the Palestinian cause.
All right. Now, let's say if in 1948, we know Israel was born in 1948 by the UN mandate, okay?
Right.
Do you agree with that?
The modern state of Israel.
Yeah.
Yes, right. 1948. Yeah. Now, six Arab nations invaded. And let's just say they invaded, and suppose the Mediterranean ran red with Israeli blood. They invaded, and they tried to wipe out the state of Israel.
Absolutely.
In 1948.
Yes.
And the Israelis lost about 47,000 people, and a lot of Arabs died.
Yes.
And you agree with that, right?
Pretty much history.
All right. So now let's say if Israel was wiped off the map, and the so-called Mediterranean ran red. Was running red with Jewish blood.
Okay.
But
let's finish your supposition.
But now, did you say if Israel was wiped off the map, do you think everybody would be hugs and kisses all around the
Middle East? Well, no. This is a really interesting talk, and I'd love to do this, but I did want to continue a little bit more about the House debate. So I take it you didn't actually hear the House debate or don't have a particular comment on that. Is that right?
About the House debate. Now, I'm all for debating and everything. And
good. Glad to hear it.
I'm all for debating and stuff. And then I don't believe if you're opposed to the war, you're a dishonest American. But you've got to you can support the troops by debating, but doesn't it give our enemies the wrong message?
You mean it might make them think we were a democracy?
Well, to try to think that make it. Do you think the insurgents really, really care about the fellow? I feel sorry for the average Iraqi because I think the average Iraqi wants to get on with their life.
Why do you feel sorry for them and not feel sorry for, let's say, the average Libyan or the average Egyptian or the average Jordanian, for example?
Why
the Iraqis? Why do we even care about them more than we care about any of the other 22 Arab countries, for example?
Why should we take out the why should we care about what Iraqis think? I care
over
about
everybody
all
else.
Human, all over human beings. I
More
care
than
about
anybody
all
else.
Beings. Well,
and
you know they kill three women every day in Jordan. According to Amnesty International, for women that are involved in honor killings.
But again,
killed by their husbands and spouses.
Now,
it also happens in Afghanistan. It also
yes,
happens in
far
Afghanistan.
Far be it for me to take the George Bush position. However, the theory was, and it was had it worked, it might have been fine, that Iraq, the model that we would have imposed by this wonderful shock and awe, this great kind of Pax Americana on Iraq, and that would have been a model for how to do it, and it would have intimidated the rest of the Arab world into following that particular brutally imposed model. It didn't quite work out that way, but that was not a completely stupid theory.
No.
It was a
I
lovely
think it
theory.
Was. Well, but he had to was trying to hope there was a lot of people in the Middle East that want to be free, and they want to be free and care about what their kids are going to do tomorrow.
But you didn't answer my question. Why Iraq? Right. Why did we decide that we were going to?
Well, you know,
Iraq.
Hang on, guys. Ed, we want Ed. You please hang on with us for a few minutes. We'll talk to you on the other side of the break. This is Aaron Freeman here with Ray Hanania on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. So happy to be talking to and listened to by you.
Escalations have resulted in escalating levels of violence. And as with any military action, the president's plan must also be evaluated. Additional burdens it will place on troops and military families who have already sacrificed so much. The impact it will have on the already dangerous state of our military readiness.
And that was the Speaker of the House. More from her opening of the Iraq War debate today, tomorrow, and Thursday with the big vote on Friday. Aaron Freeman here. Welcome, truth seekers, to the Mike Malloy program. I am substituting for Mike for a couple of days, joined yesterday and today by my good buddy Ray Hanania, author, columnist, and proprietor of Hanania.com. Ray?
How you doing?
All right. So we were just on there with Ed from North Carolina. Now, Ed, I want to try to understand your view on the strategy for getting out of the war. What do you have a thought about getting out of the war, getting out of the occupation?
Do I have any thought for getting out of the war?
Yeah.
Well, we got to stay there to kick the insurgents' ass. Got the insurgents. We got to kick their butt. Get them out of there. They have no idea how to put electrical grids together.
So,
do they really care about the people of Iraq?
Well, let me add. So you would be in favor of endless for as long as it takes.
Endless. Well, it doesn't have to be endless. You can just
for as long as it takes.
We could end it in a month if we wanted to.
We could end it really.
Oh, like, heck yeah, heck yeah. You know, just they know where we know where the insurgents are. We just go in there and blow them all up.
Well, Ed,
you know,
what happens?
All they're doing right now is running around with car bombs. Hell, anybody can do that.
Well, let me just ask, Ed, for example, we know that the Mujahideen Shura Council and the Al Qaeda are in Anbar province, and in absolutely we could, with a few weeks worth of bombing, wipe them all out, but it would kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of completely innocent people as well. Would that be acceptable?
Well, we wouldn't kill millions. We'd have to kill a few thousand.
Well, again, in Anwar.
Well, you know where it's at. You know, you got to go in there and show them who the baddest in the valley is.
I'm sorry? You have to do
what? You got to show them who the baddest in the valley is.
Who the baddest in the valley. And yes. if you end up killing tens of thousands of completely innocent people along with them.
Well, hell, they're doing it themselves
Aaron, right now.
Yes, Ray, go ahead.
Listen, I heard the exact same thing, if I remember correctly, from General William Westmoreland back in 1968. Let's send in 500,000 troops to Vietnam. Let's beat those, you know, sandal-wearing desert jungle people back to the Stone Age. And what happened? They beat us.
But, Ray, I mean, I'm sorry, Ed, the morality of killing innocent people...
They beat us because of the peace activists in the United States.
Okay. But it had nothing to do with the fact that we were losing the war.
We weren't losing the war.
Okay.
We were too much of the nice guy.
We could have ended it at any time. Okay,
good. I'm sorry. I respect your opinion. I totally disagree with you.
But thank you for calling it.
Well, you know, they had the round table. They couldn't argue the Viet Cong. North Vietnamese denied that they even had troops in South Vietnam.
All right.
Remember?
So, Ed, well, thank you very much for calling, my brother. Thank you for calling the Mike Malloy Show. Well, thank you for listening. We look forward to talking to you another time. Bye-bye. It's the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. By the way, if you are a listener of Nova M Radio, as in fact you are, you have a chance to join to be a founding member of Nova M Radio. Head on over to NovaMRadio.com. That would be NovaMRadio.com. And sign up to become a founding member there and all the wonderful benefits. You can become an insider. Get all kind, you can get the podcasts. You can get all kinds of streaming or not, well, you get streaming anywhere. But you have a chance to win $10,000. All manner of benefits attended to those who become founding members at www.novamradio.com. Let's talk right now to Adrian in the Bronx. Adrian?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Adrian. Thank you
Hi,
so much.
Hi, how are you?
Just having a fine time on the Mike Malloy Show. You're on with Ray Hanania and me, Aaron Freeman.
Hi, you know one thing, I just wanted to say something about this Ed person that was on just a little while ago. I mean, just hung up. They dropped three times the tonnage on Vietnam than they did in World War II. The Vietnamese withstood what sent the Nazis into submission. So this business about, well, we were nice guys and we didn't actually go all out to win Vietnam is a bunch of poppycock because they did. And they're not going to, I mean, they would have the similar results in Iraq. They're not going to drop an atom bomb because the oil would be worthless. So, I mean, you know, they might as well just get out of there. I was totally against them going in under any circumstances. I realized Saddam Hussein was a bad man. And but the Iraqis know how to handle themselves. There was no reason why a suicide bomber couldn't have blown up around Saddam Hussein, but they're doing it every day around America. So, I mean, this whole thing, the mentality, well, there are people there, we're trying to help and all that garbage. The Arab world is not a bunch of dummies or illiterates that some supremacist-minded person has to save. I'm just completely so against that stupidity that Ed just shown. It's just too much. Anyway, on Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
It's time out for debate. She said weeks ago that giving Bush a blank check was over. Okay, now it's time to do something. I mean, because the American people have chosen that they no longer want all of this prolonged debating bit. They want to get out of Iraq, fund the withdrawal.
Now, again, there is a strategy that is apparently was apparently emerging among the Democrats, which would be to get as many Republicans as they can to vote against the escalation, the surge. And then once that vote is there and on paper and the Republicans are committed, it's not, you know, 20 to 60 Republicans, depending on whatever number ultimately ends up on Friday. And then when the funding for the surge comes up in 2 weeks, to say to them, look, you clearly were on record voting against the thing, so now you cannot vote to fund it. Does that seem a reasonable strategy to you, Adrian?
I don't really think that they're going to get the Republicans to go for that. I mean, you know, we know that
You don't think they'll get the Republicans to go to vote against the surge or against funding it?
Either one,
okay.
Either one. I think they're wasting their time. I mean, because I don't know. Bush seems to have, a loyal following.
He has a magical power over the Republicans.
Or maybe all of that wiretapping, he's got something on him.
Ah!
Don't you agree, Adrian, that we should just get out of there at this point?
I do agree with us getting out of here. I'm calling you from the Bronx, but I'm originally from Charlie Rangel's district. And as I was telling, he's getting on my nerves, too, because he was really pretty much all for stopping the war. Now he seems to be, not as against it. It's time to act on. I don't see any point in having Charlie Rangel in power if he's not going to do it. If everybody's saying, well, they're probably afraid the Democrats will lose power, then damn well make these 2 years count. But don't, I thought this Charlie Rangel would be more forceful in that
Let me ask you, Adrian, sorry to interrupt you, but the Democrats do need to be in power in order to do some of the other things that we
like. But they're not really taking care of business now that they are. Why is there a debate on defunding the escalation? Fund the withdrawal. People are saying, we don't want to leave the troops out there exposed and not fund. Well, then fund the withdrawal for them to come back.
Well, that is Maxine Waters.
Stay there.
I believe that is Maxine Waters' plan to fund the withdrawal, to fully fund the withdrawal.
Well, see, Charlie Rangel has said something. Mr. C is getting kind of, I don't know, because he has said that months and months ago. Maybe she just picked up on what he had said, but I noticed that wasn't even mentioned now that he's chairman of the Ways and Means Committee.
It wasn't part of the debate today. It was definitely a part of the debate today. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Maxine Waters who in her 5 minutes today, mentioned that.
I'm sorry, but I didn't look because I just didn't think I could take it. They just did not seem. I'm glad that I'll probably go back to maybe a podcast and see.
They're listening to you. They're listening to you, Adrian. You see there? They probably, I think somebody mentioned Adrian specifically in the Bronx.
Who
had the right idea.
Mr. Charles knows my parents and he knows me, so maybe that's
possible. All right, well, Adrian, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. This is Air America Radio. You're listening to, you're not on, but you can be on, with Aaron Freeman, me, and my good buddy Ray Hanania calling from snowy, wintry Chicago, Illinois. We're going to be taking some more calls about that wonderful debate, this very exciting debate on the Iraq War and how to get out of it. But we're going to take a little commercial capitalist break here for a moment, and we'll be back on the Mike Malloy Show with me, Aaron Freeman, on Nova M Radio.
The ruin of many a poor boy. In God, I know I'm one.
Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found.
Oh, killing people, dying, children hurt and hidden crying. Can you practice what you preach?
Welcome, welcome back, dear listener, and thank you so much for joining us on Nova M Radio. It's the Mike Malloy Show, and it is I, Aaron Freeman, sitting in temporarily for little Uncle Michael, and joined by Ray Hanania, proprietor of Hanania.com. Ray is a longtime journalist, writer, syndicated columnist, web publisher, web designer, and generally master of all things linguistic. What? You're a linguistic star.
I'm a nomad. What you're saying is I'm some Arab nomad.
That's right. Following in the traditions of your people. And Ray is, Ray Hanania, I didn't even properly introduce you earlier today. Ray is, in addition to being a very, very funny Palestinian comedian, probably arguably the funniest Palestinian in America. Would you debate that? Do you know?
I think there are only 12 Arab comedians in the whole country. I'm the only one not in jail.
There you go.
It's easy.
And that's right. A very funny Palestinian comedian married to a Jewish woman of just a man of massive contradictions. But we're talking about the Iraq war debate. And let me just say I discovered, and I was right, that Congresswoman Maxine Waters is co-sponsor of the Bring Our Troop Home, try it in English, the Bring Our Troops Home and Sovereignty of Iraq Restoration Act, which would fully fund the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq and bringing them home in 6 months.
And a lot, and then put the responsibility of running Iraq in the hands of the Iraqi government.
That would be the idea. All right.
Now, would you say that that's a genuine effort or really kind of a very smart political move coming before the presidential election?
Well, again, this was introduced. The presidential elections are quite a ways away. And
yeah,
Maxine
but they've
Waters,
already started running.
But Maxine Waters is not running.
That's
so
true.
I do not think that there was
anything. And I don't mean to criticize her. I'm just saying that.
I understand, you know, as I like to say, as I said last night, that I'm with Lily Tomlin. My greatest fear is that no matter how cynical I become, it's not enough. But I must say that I really do, in my experience, everyone I've ever gotten to know, all even the politicians, have struck me as good and decent people trying to do right by the world. Now, Ray, you've had vast experience.
Yes, I met many mobsters who held political office at City Hall in Chicago. They were all great people. Unless you were at the end of one of their guns, okay?
So you would not agree, it has not been your experience that the politicians...
I think
with
most
whom,
politicians, as individuals, are very good people.
But I mean, trying to do right in the world, trying to do
I
good in the world.
I think most people would like to do right in the world, but they're more concerned about how they'll look trying to do right, and that's what gets in the way of doing the right thing, I think.
What do you mean?
Well, they're so worried about, for example, I think the Democrats are worried about, wow, now they're in charge. If we get out of Iraq too quickly and it collapses, the Republicans are going to blame the Democrats.
That's true.
So they're positioning themselves rather than doing what voters ask them to do. Just get us out of there. You know, get us out of there, and that's what voters wanted. Let's just do it.
Well, just do it. All right. The Nike approach to Iraqi withdrawal. Just do it. Let's talk to John in North Carolina. John in North Carolina, you are on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Best day of my life, my brother.
First time caller.
All right.
Hey, look, I got a problem with that next to last caller.
Ed?
The young, and my thing is, I'm a Persian Gulf War vet, and I did 10 years in the 82nd Airborne.
Okay.
And my thing is this, bring our troops out of Iraq. It's easy to say just go in there and show them who's the biggest and who's the baddest. But the real thing is those people had a government already set up. Whether we liked it or not, them folks was able to go to school without fear. You know, they weren't living at the edge of a gun. You know, bring our troops home and let them folks fix their government.
But now, John, let me ask you, though. Do you believe that the U.S. has no responsibility at all for trying to make this better after having wrecked, overthrown the government and brought chaos to the country? Do you think we have no responsibility at all, morally, ethically?
I think that we have a big responsibility to help them to repair their government. However, I don't think that our troops need to be in the middle of a civil war. I believe with what Colin Powell said, you know, if you break it, you own it. You know, you're going to have to fix it.
Fair enough.
And that's just what we need to do.
John, thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate it. Great insights. You're listening to NOVAM Radio, The Mike Malloy Show. I'm Aaron Freeman, and Ray Hanania sitting in for Mike. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back. Please call more. We're having lots of fun talking about the debate in the U.S. House of Representatives on the Iraq War and how to get the heck out of it. When you come back down, girl, still ain't feeling right.
Killing on both sides, standing in the path of peace. But tell me, why are we arming the Israeli army with guns and tanks and bullets? And if God is great and God is good, why
It is 26 minutes before 9 o'clock here on Nova M Radio, and we are here taking your calls at 800-989-1480. It's the Mike Malloy Show, you truth seekers, you. Aaron Freeman here, sitting in for Mike for a couple of days, joined by Ray Hanania in snowy Chicago.
How you doing?
Well, I'm warmer than you are. Well, maybe not warmer right now, but certainly.
No, we're warm here. It's just our house is basically snowed in.
You are warmed by the love of your lovely wife and your charming son and your...
We are fighting over whether he should go to sleep right now at this very moment, actually.
Well, see, my kids are all praying for a snow day on the morrow. They want a snow day. But yes, but it's even though it's snowy in Washington, D.C., our representatives, at least those in the House of Representatives, are having a hot debate on the Iraq War. The funding of the Iraq War comes up at various times in it, but specifically they're debating the escalation slash surge slash thrusting. I personally like the thrusting, the bold thrusting of our further troops. Well, actually, it's thrusting and it's holding on, too, because they're holding on to some of the people who would be, some of the soldiers who would be otherwise be rotated home, and thrusting more soldiers who are untrained in. Now, by the way, that is another strategy, I don't know if you've heard, that emerged today, that they want to force the president to only send in enough, those units that are fully equipped. I.e., those units that have Humvees that are up armored and who have sufficient numbers of protective vests.
Boy, if we required that, we have no troops in Iraq.
That would be part of the deal because
I'm not going to question the legislators and say they don't care about our troops, but don't you think that it smacks a little bit of political maneuvering to push that? I mean, I think they should.
Well, yeah,
have
they're
proper
trying to figure.
Equipment.
Look, they're absolutely trying. They're trying to figure out how to end the war without getting blamed.
Right. That's exactly it. You hit the nail on the head, Aaron.
That's
exactly it.
That seems.
Let's end the war, but
don't
please
get
don't blame me.
You know, the problem is we keep electing these darn human beings.
Right, I know. Are we going to have artificial intelligence
and computers? I know.
Well, they can make those cold, calculated decisions without worrying about whose toe you stepped on.
Well, let's talk to Chris out here in Berkeley, because Chris has just about as much faith, apparently, in our elected officials as you do, right? Chris, welcome to Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, good evening, fellas.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, you know, I hate to be a pessimist, but it's, you know, after 6 years of just being beaten down, even though this has begun. And, you know, I will just as a side note say that I lived in San Francisco and I've had mixed emotions about Nancy Pelosi. I sometimes kind of felt like she was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And she is a millionaire, so I'm not sure how she really represents me. I'm a special education teacher in Oakland, so I'm probably one of the lowest paid teachers in the country.
That's probably why she's a millionaire.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. That's your money she's buying those very nice
Yeah, that's there you go. That's right. But, yeah, you know, I don't put a lot of faith in this now. I feel like it's too little too late. And also,
you think it's too late to end the war?
Well, no, it's not too late to end the war, though. And Ray, I disagree with you a little bit.
Sure.
Where I don't know if I've just caught you guys towards the end here. But to just say, like, shouldn't we just get out? You know, we can't do that. We like the last fella said, we broke it. I think we bought some responsibility here. I think we're a little too opportunistic. I don't think that, you know, we've got a lot of this war profiteering. I think it, you know, control maybe needs to be given to the UN or some other organization that can do things a little bit more, you know, evenly, fairly.
Michael Lerner said to give it to the Arab League. But somebody other than the U.S., someone who speaks the language.
Yeah, I think somebody who's a little less, you know, I think that everybody on this side's got dollar signs in their eyes. And as long as that's going on, I don't know how it's really going to be done in a fair and appropriate way.
But, you know, let me ask Chris, I certainly can understand how anyone would feel cynical about our political system. But I would posit that it is not completely cynical. Somebody said, I forget, God,
I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
And somebody said, you know, that if politicians are going to get beat up, no matter what they do, they will generally, at that point, do the right thing.
You know, another thing, though, not to switch gears on you, but something that's always been on my mind, and the last woman that you had on the air mentioned it, and I feel like it's unfortunate that anybody who brings this up is instantly labeled as some kind of a conspiracy theorist. But with all of this wiretapping stuff going on, and it really upset me that recently they had Gonzalez there for questioning, and nobody just straight up asked him, sir, has this, you know, have these spying techniques, wiretapping, whatever you call it, has it ever been used on politicians? Has, you know, I think that would have really laid things out right there.
Well, then he would have said, and yes, Senator, as a matter of fact, and you and that 14-year-old dog.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, that's probably true. I think they've got something on everybody. I think that's why, you know, all this kind of hot air. They're not really standing up to the administration. I think they're not doing anything because I think they do have something on everybody.
Well, I certainly hope you're wrong.
I do too. I should say that as well.
And I really do think that a lot of the, you know, all kind of people who say that the Republicans are all perverts, and which I really think is just political stuff. It's a cynical attempt.
I don't think they all are.
Well, I think it's a cynical attempt to humanize the Republican Party. But
there is that story, though, Aaron. I remember hearing that when they had the Republican National Convention in New York, and I grew up right outside, so I knew some people kind of on the inside, that they actually had to bring sex workers into Manhattan to satisfy the influx of Republicans coming in for the convention. But that's
right.
Actually true.
Well, that's good. Glad to know that at least do have libidos. Thank you very much for calling, Chris.
You're welcome, guys. Take care.
Right, bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Man.
It's Nova M Radio, Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania, sitting in for Mike Malloy. It's 800-989-1480. We're going to talk right now to Ron, who's been on hold for a long time. We appreciate it. Ron, in Davis, California, thank you so much for calling the Mike Malloy Show. No, this is not Ron. This is Ron. You're Ron.
Yeah, I'm Ron.
Yes, Ron. Thank you
so
much.
Hey, good. You guys are doing a bang up job, by the way.
You are most kind, my brother.
Man. Yeah, and here's what's happening. I'd like you to I kind of want to tweak your paradigm a bit there, Aaron, around what's happening. I'm going to go back in time because I'm like an old radical, and I was in the
We're all old radicals on Noam Radio, my brother.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you go back as far as I do.
Right.
I was in Southeast Asia in '62 through '64 in the Peace Corps.
Wow.
And I happened to go to Clark Air Force Base, where a buddy was operated on, and I saw a bunch of these young guys. I was like pushing 24, and they were all cut up. Some of them were amputees and the whole deal, and I inquired about it, and I found out they were, quote, advisors, unquote, from Vietnam. And this was before the Gulf of Tonkin. So I began to put two and two together, and I saw the dark clouds coming. So I came back to the United States, started going back to school, and then the Gulf of Tonkin hit, which was a lie. That was the first step into hell that the United States took, really. And this is the second step, Iraq. So here's what frustrates me, you guys, is that I began to become an activist, a radical. I had to deal with my own draft board and all of that. Now, the war kept escalating, as you know, and I kept saying, God, they're having another committee on it. They're having another study group. What are the Democrats going to do? What are their solutions? Nothing would happen. But the crowds kept getting bigger and bigger in the streets. 1968, LBJ decides to resign because he's effed up so badly over Vietnam, right?
Right.
At that point, there were something like 20-something thousand Americans dead, maybe a couple of 100,000 injured, and at least 1 million Vietnamese killed and maybe 10 million injured, right?
Right, right.
So Nixon gets elected on a platform of ending the war in Vietnam.
With a secret plan.
Yeah, in 1968. He takes power in 69. The war goes on for 7 more years. American dead goes up to 58,000. We have no idea how many are injured, and these guys are still wheeling around the streets of New York. And the estimates go over the top for Southeast Asians because Nixon just flat out bombed Cambodia by executive order. So now we come to Iraq, which is, Randy Rhodes said, we opened the gates of hell. And that's what's happening. Iraq right now, this poor Ed cat, by the way, I love what Adrian had to say, or Adria, he doesn't understand that Iraq has been destroyed forever, for at least a century. It's a super fun site. It's just loaded with blood, depleted uranium, dead bodies, thousands and millions of people.
So, Ron, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but let me see if I can understand what it is you're saying. I think it sounds like you're saying that the debates, for whatever they are worth, really don't. You're with Ray. They don't get to the point. The point is, bring them home now.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, they should have come home. You know, they should never have gone.
Of course.
And they should come home yesterday. And this Congress, just like the Congress in Vietnam, keeps debating and debating and debating and debating and debating. And meanwhile, my hair is on fire. And so I had to live through 12 years of that stuff, Aaron. 12 years. I mean, after I've seen guys with no legs and arms and stuff, and after I saw guys who came back. Now, Barack Obama is just a baby. So I don't – and all those people in the Congress, in the Senate, they're not going to help us at all. They have to hear the thunder and the lightning in the streets. Then they'll move. But if you rely on them and all, what do you think about this and all that, and give them 26 days and 6 months and 2 weeks.
Ron, hang on. We have to take a break here, but I want to go.
Yeah, I know I'm hot.
My brother, you're wonderful.
All right.
I appreciate your thoughtfulness and I appreciate your passion. I hope you just hang on to the other side of the break, and I want to chat with you a little bit more.
Cool.
About it, okay? All right, you're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania, talking with Ron, too, here on Nova M Radio. We're going to come back. We're going to keep talking about this wonderful debate, which ended with you, our wonderful listener, who is filling us with so many wonderful ideas and such great passion. It's Nova M Radio. Nova M Radio here, and you are the star. Oh, but I'm not afraid. I'm actually very, very optimistic because I'm Aaron Freeman and I'm a comedian. Aaron Freeman here with Ray Hanania on the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio, on the Nova M Radio Network. Let me say, if you are enjoying listening to our conversation, you can become a part of it by calling, and you can become a part of the entire Nova M Radio experiment, the whole Nova M Radio enterprise, by becoming a founding member of Nova M Radio. Go to www.novamradio.com. That's novamradio.com. Sign up. Become a founding member. Have a chance to win $10,000. We want you. We want your participation. We want your voice. We want your support. We want you to be a part of this great, great enterprise we're building here that is going to be a part of a wonderful movement to renew this country and take it back from the corporate baddies and the cynical politicians who are currently exerting way too much control. Anyway, on here with Ray Hanania and Ron. Now, Ron, out there in Davis, California, I really, Ron, appreciate your perspective and your passion. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. As we used to say, power to the people.
Power to the people. But let me say this, and that's it's a good segue to what I want to ask you about, Ron, and get your take on this.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that we as progressives want to support this escalation, because if we do not, when this whole enterprise fails miserably, as we all know it will, if we do not support this particular escalation, we will be blamed. If we pull the plug and bring them home, we will be blamed for this tremendous titanic loss, and it will damage the standing of our politicians, and it will make our issues that much more difficult to succeed legislatively.
You're not serious about saying that.
Do you have any doubt that if funding is pulled, that this will all get blamed on the left?
It doesn't matter who gets blamed. It's what are at stake here, Aaron, are lives. just the, I mean,
lives
just
are
think
also,
about it.
But I'm with you, but lives are also at stake in terms of universal health care. Lives are at stake in terms of the right to choose. There are a lot
Absolutely, but you're dealing with a whole series of variables. See, that's what happened in Vietnam. That's the point I was trying to make.
I know, that's why I wanted to make this point to you.
As long as you plow along and argue and don't worry about getting blamed, blah, blah, you don't know what can happen. I mean, we could have a CIA plant in Iran, just take out a small cruise ship in the Persian Gulf 6 months from now. Bam, we nuke Iran, and it's World War III. Just because we're stuck in Iraq in a bloodbath and killing people just at random. I mean, I'm sick of it, man.
So you're saying that there's a hierarchy of values, and that the stopping war is at the top of that hierarchy.
Absolutely. I mean, we were insane to go. See, this is working. You have to understand, of course, that for guys like Ed, right, earlier,
yeah.
And all the neocons and George and Dick and all the boys. This is working out quite well for them. They plan. They don't ever plan on retreating. So if you ask them, they're going to say, oh, no, we will stay there forever. They have 14 permanent military bases. There's the whole clean break thing with Netanyahu, which led to PNAC. And
but again,
I missed all that whole thing. But what I'm saying is, for God's sake, stop the slaughter. I mean, you have no idea what – I mean, spend 2 or 3 days in Iraq. If any, and I don't know what in God's name we're doing talking about presidential candidates 1 year and 9 months from the date. I mean, so to me, it's just like, I can't take another day of this, but I'm like Mike Malloy. The reason I can't listen to Mike all the time is because he reminds me, I just start to lose it. I mean, I don't understand how human beings can behave this way.
Because it doesn't affect us directly.
That's right.
Because most of us have a certain...
You got it. You got it. We're just, when I came back from the Peace Corps, I was like, I would look at a dumpster. I lived in a developing country. I would look at a dumpster, and I'd say, God, that could feed my whole little village I lived in. And,
Ray was saying something around.
No, I was just going to ask if either of you think that this whole conflict might have been changed, or the direction might have been changed, if we had had a draft where everyone's son or daughter might have been grabbed and sent to this war.
The only problem
might
have
ended this
would it have
had an impact?
Yeah, that would have had an impact. It would have put more people in the streets. The only problem with that, Ray, is the rich always find a way out. They always find. That's guaranteed.
I mean, like President Bush.
Yeah.
Well, and we also did have a draft
during the
Vietnam War.
Yeah. I'm tired of the talk. I'm exhausted. Right. And it's just like, I have to do this? I'm 66, and it's like, oh, no. How many more years am I going to hear about them debating what we should do and what we'll look like and how bad? Who cares? Stop the slaughter.
Well, Ron, I've got to say that is a very, very compelling perspective you have, my brother. Thank
you. Yeah, I'm not going to back down an inch from that one, brother.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Good on you.
Appreciate the education. All right. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Well, now there's a guy who really knows whence he speaks and speaks it with passion and from the heart. You're listening to Nova, the kind of passion and heart that you get all the time here on Nova M Radio, and especially from the Mike Malloy Show. My name's Aaron Freeman. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy, joined by my good buddy Ray Hanania. We are taking your calls here at 800-989-1480. I want to remind you once again that you have a chance to be a founding member of Nova M Radio. It's a brand new radio endeavor rising up from the ashes of that other progressive radio network, so we hope that you will become a founding member by going to www.novamradio.com. Have a chance to win $10,000. Get all kinds of other emoluments that will make your life so much better. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back for our final hour, and we're going to try to maybe get a few other things. We do want to talk about the House debate on the Iraq War and how to get the heck out of it on Nova M Radio.
Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody. fix. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows, but some fight back, and that is what Nova M Radio is all about. You, beloved siblings, you and I and we are part of the revolution that will take our country back from the corporate giants, from the cynics, from the less than moral pals, and hand it back, and we will run this bad boy ourselves once again. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy, and joined by Ray Hanania in snowy Chicago, Illinois. Ray Hanania.
How you doing?
So, yeah, this is a pretty darn amazing and interesting conversation.
It's enjoyable. I'm learning a lot from it.
There's some very, very, very cool people.
I'm learning that my view is not the dominant view.
Oh, wait a minute. I was thinking, I thought your view was the dominant view and mine wasn't. I really think there's way more, I mean, you are more cynical than I, dear friend, and I think there's way more cynicism out there than that.
I think cynicism is a good probe to kind of get interesting discussion.
Well, that's true. Although, you know, my good friend Peter Martinez, who actually I think was going to be on with us on Thursday, Peter Martinez says that cynicism can sometimes be a form of cowardice. That it allows you to not listen to what people, to debates like this, because people say, well, it's just a bunch of politicians anyway. And so it can be a form of laziness as well. You don't have to pay attention. I'm not saying, obviously, that's not true of you, but. No, I mean.
It's all right. I've already been insulted. No problem. Don't worry.
I truly, as I said, I myself am very cynical. And I'm just saying that sometimes it can be, because
when it applies to politicians. That it works, but I think you're right.
Ray? Did we lose Ray?
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What happened? You think I'm right?
No.
You said you thought I was right, and the whole system went up. All right. But we have so many calls. Let's see if we can get to somebody. Let's talk to Ed out in Brownsville, New Jersey. Ed, welcome to the Mike Mullay Show.
Hey, how you doing? It's Browns Mills.
I'm sorry, Browns Mills.
Yeah, it's okay. Hey, I've been on for a while, so can I comment on a couple? I have my own statements, but can I comment on a couple of the other callers?
Please do.
Okay, first, Ed is obviously a moronic neocon, and
that's redundant.
Yeah, I don't need to say anything more about that. Yeah, the caller from Davis, California, I agreed with just about everything he said. He did get one thing wrong. LBJ did not resign. He just didn't seek re-election.
That's true.
And he's right about the draft. There would be more people protesting and coming out in the streets, which is also leads me to what Adriana was saying about Charlie Rangel. Charlie Rangel, at one point, even talking about a draft, was talking about impeachment. And then since the election, he's been, like, gilded. I don't know what happened to him. He just disappeared. And that's what I got to say about the other comments. But the callers.
Right.
I think we should have a massive withdrawal. And I do think what will happen is for a little while, it would probably get worse. They'd probably fight it out a little bit. The Shiites and the Sunnis, the Kurds would probably practically call for independence. At the end, I think it would be a government dominated by the Shiites. It would probably be more like a Shiite theological type of religion closer to what the Iranians have, and I think our best bet at that point would just to try to develop the best relationship we have.
Well, what makes you think the country would hold together, that there would be an Iraq?
Well, again, I that's what I said about the Kurds would practically gain independence, which
they have already.
Yeah, which would be a threat to both our ally Turkey and our enemy Iran. And you know, both have huge Kurdish populations.
Absolutely. And Kurdistan is, in fact, now harboring terrorists who are attacking our NATO enemy, our NATO ally, I should say, Turkey.
Right, exactly.
So geopolitically, it doesn't worry you that the country would fracture and break up into the southern part, summer was what they think they want to call it, which would almost certainly be aligned with its oil, with Iran. The Kurds would be running off supporting terrorism, and even now, Anbar has declared its independence. It's called itself the Islamic Republic of Iraq, and it's a haven for Al Qaeda.
I think we have started this downfall into division. And, you know, you said earlier that maybe that's the plan. But I don't think that was the plan. But that is what's happening, and I don't see what's going to reverse it. Our real problem is, why are we always trying to dominate somebody? Why do we have to impose so-called democracy? And the whole thing, this is what happened in Vietnam. Oh, the world, you know, the world was going to end if Vietnam became a communist nation. Well, they are a communist nation today, and 58,000 Americans, millions of Vietnamese dead, and the world didn't come to an end. In fact, we are now trading with Vietnam. We have a nice relationship with the Vietnamese government of today, more than we do with Cuba or Iran.
It's a good point. Good point, Ed.
And I one more last thing.
Okay.
You know, with these weapons that are blowing up our troops and things, this is right. Also comes around. When the Russians took over Afghanistan, countries were supplying weapons. Of course, we were, to defeat the Russian occupation of Afghanistan.
Yeah, but we're the good guys. Remember that. So we say,
Hitler thought he was a good guy. And I'm not comparing George Bush to Hitler, even though he's invaded a sovereign nation too.
Don't go there, Ed.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't trying to, but there are similarities there.
I understand.
I don't know, and I tell you what, who we never talk about is the Saudis are supplying the Sunnis with their weapons. We can talk about the Shiites getting their weapons from Syria and getting their weapons from Iran, but our own government, our own media doesn't talk about the Saudis are supplying the Sunnis. And the Sunnis are not only using them to blow up Shiites, they're using them to blow up our troops.
But they're our allies.
They're our allies. Yeah, well,
that's why. We're supplying the Sunnis.
Yeah, and our ally also supplied 15 of the terrorists. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Thank you so much.
It was 15 of the 19.
You're right.
Thank you very much, Ed. Appreciate you calling.
And by the way, I'm running for Congress in New Jersey.
All right. Well, good luck to you, brother.
All right. Thank you. Peace.
It's the it's Nova Am Radio, the Mike Malloy Show, Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania, and Alan in Miami. Alan, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Okay. Thank you. Believe it or not, I'm going to give a reason why we should get out and why we should get out.
I can't believe
it. Okay, it's pretty simple. Just imagine a situation where somebody comes to your house, some relative you hadn't heard from a long time, and asks to stay for a couple days and ends up staying for weeks and months, and they start remodeling things and changing things in a way, and you just want to, and they kept figuring all this stuff out, but when you, and he brings a friend to stay over, you don't know, they're planning actually to set up some sort of heist and needed a place for their money laundering scheme to set up. And, but they're helping to fix up your house, and they're doing a little bit. Well, you know what? Yeah. Every day they spend there is a day that they're doing you harm. Same thing is over there. Had we actually gone over there to try and help somebody, we're going to build schools. I mean, look, we've been, for more than a decade, we've been blowing up schools, water supplies, hospitals. We've really ruined that nation for a long time. So all of us, the real reason we're there is the project for the New American Century, as it says. It's those 14 bases. And so as far as this administration is concerned, when they say that we're winning, they're putting their feet in the ground and they're stuck in there and they're building the bases and they're defending the oil fields that they've already divided up amongst the different companies according to the closed door plan. What I'm saying is since if you put it on a scale, the amount of good we're doing is vastly less than the amount of damage we'll do by having those bases there. So every single day we spend there, the situation tips a little bit more to the worse, or maybe a lot more.
You know, of course, that Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense, has actually said that we have no desire for a permanent military presence in Iraq.
Well, that's a start. That's one of the good things about Maxine Waters' plan too. I have to give credit for that because she's saying not only get out.
Alan, hang on a second. Just stick with us. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. We'll just keep you with us. All right.
All right.
All right. This is the Mike Malloy Show. You're on with Aaron Freeman, joined by Ray Hanania. We are talking to you for another 45 minutes here, so give us a call at 800-989-1480, talking about the debate in the House of Representatives on the Iraq War with Y, O, and U. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio. Ian Hogue is our engineer who's picking these, spinning them cuts, spinning them tunes, having a great time. My wife Sharon says that Ian does a great job picking the music, so Sharon is very happy, and if Sharon is happy, then it must be right. And I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy for a few days, joined by Ray Hanania out there in snowy Chicago, Illinois.
Amen.
And yeah, and we were talking to Alan, I believe, in Miami, right? We were talking to Alan, right? Alan, is that you?
Hi.
Hi.
Reprising a bit, just the idea that since we're doing more damage than we are good,
right.
The idea of fixing it, the way we can fix it is by getting out, working with an international community, perhaps the UN or whatever, and giving all that money that we've been giving to those private contractors, giving it to them to fix it. We have something to give back to help them out. All that whole argument about our having to be there because we have to help them, we broke it. Well, you know, not necessarily the people who break something are the ones who are capable of fixing it. These are the same people who brought us Katrina. Let's not forget that.
All right.
The problem is they don't care. Katrina happened because they don't care. They only care about what they wanted, and it's the project of the New American Century Plan to put in, as they say in the project, forward U.S. bases around the world so that no nation or group of nations can ever dominate the United States militarily, economically, or politically.
That's benign hegemony, I think, is the term that Richard Pearl used.
Well, yeah, benign from his point of view.
I understand.
I just want to suggest if people want to read some arguments on this, there is a place called cosmeticdemocracy.com.
Ah, cosmeticdemocracy.com. All right.
There is an article on why we're there. It's an open letter to journalists to cover the real story and not all these phony stories around. And there's also one about impeachment now as a defensive tactic. It may be the one thing that can keep us from going into Iran. Because
right.
This regime is like a cornered animal trying to figure out what they can do to save themselves.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. We appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. That's cosmeticdemocracy.com. That sounds pretty interesting.
I guess.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting. All right, let's zip along here. We got a whole bunch of calls. All the lines are lit up, but we appreciate lit up with really fine, cool people, we think. Let's take a quick chat with Barbara in Cave Creek, Arizona.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you so much for calling the Mike Malloy Show, you truth seeker, you.
Well, I just wanted to reply. The last caller was completely right on, and yes, and we are selling arms. It's in the Baker Report that the American arms that were in Saudi Arabia are being used by the Sunnis.
Okay.
Given to them by the Saudis, who I believe have taken over the country. But I just thought it was just a little tidbit that
Muqtada,
the anti-American cleric flees Iraq for Iran.
Yes, Muqtada al-Sadr.
Yeah. And what I want to know is supposedly he's leaving because for 72 hours, there's going to be they're going to close the borders. Now, if they can suddenly close the borders now, why couldn't they close the borders before? Suddenly, they're able to close the borders.
In theory, they close the borders. I must say that I'm not aware of any nation that has successfully been able to keep people out who want to get in.
Yeah, but I find that there's something strange about this whole this whole situation, well, of course, obviously, but I feel it's really Saudi-driven. I just, everything that Osama bin Laden wanted us to do, we've done. We've got our bases out of Saudi Arabia. We've destroyed who he wanted to help and be the head of, which was Saddam Hussein. He wanted to help us.
Get rid of Sudan.
Right,
I mean, that was one of his goals.
Yes.
Yeah.
He referred to Hussein as the socialist.
Right. So, I mean, we've done everything. We're doing, it's like...
And he's still in Afghanistan or Pakistan someplace, probably,
monitoring
the success of his strategy.
Yeah, with his business partner, the Bushes. And
right.
And the thing that we can't afford, our country... So in debt, how can we afford to fix Iraq?
Well, maybe we can't, but the Chinese can, and we just borrow the money from them. Come on!
They've got our money. That's the other thing.
Well, we give it to them, though. They make really nice textiles, very nice. I have Chinese-made jackets
and
shirts.
That's not how they got all our money. Letting them and bringing all our companies over there.
I understand. Well,
maybe we should go to the Chinese and have them supply our soldiers in Iraq.
We are.
Paying all that money to Halliburton.
That's the whole point. We've been taken over.
Thank you.
I feel like we've lost
Barbara,
the war.
We got a break. Barbara, we got a hard break. Thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
It's the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania. We still got about half an hour left here, so just hang in there, folks who are on the phone. We love talking to you, love talking about this war, love talking about Iraq. It's a great debate. It's Nova M Radio. See you in a bit. Mike Malloy Show, Truth Seekers. I'm Aaron Freeman, joined by Ray Hanania. We are here talking with you for another few minutes here about the debate in the House of Representatives about the Iraq War and the plans. And boy, I am surprised at the intensity of dissatisfaction with the whole debate process. I understand it, but are you a little surprised, Ray?
Well, I'm not surprised, to be honest with you, because again, it goes back to cynicism when it comes to politicians.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, they're interested in themselves first. Now, and that is a good strategy, I guess, if you say, look, I'm going to do some good. I need to take care of myself first. That seems to be the political way. I just don't like it.
Well,
I just like to see some. I like Obama because I think he's saying, hey, I'm going to change things.
They're going to change things.
I know they do. I know, but we all have... The only thing we have as voters, besides our vote, is hope.
Is hope. You're right. And that is the audacity of that hope.
And
well,
I
know
somebody will come through.
And here's somebody who's going to come through for us. It's Danny in Mobile, Alabama. Danny, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Thank God.
Hey, Danny.
Just one quick point I wanted to make is that... The way I'm afraid the way we got into Iraq is the same way we've gotten into most wars in our history, is that corporate interest, we could beat the dead horse, and we all know Halliburton, Bush's buddies,
sure.
And the oil industry and so
absolutely.
On and so forth.
Yep.
And that is how we got there. But one thing that I'm very concerned about is that for, when the Democrats, which I would like to number myself amongst the Democrats, I'm kind of afraid to, that when it took over the Congress, it only took just a very few hours in the first clock of 120 hours, whatever it was, to change things. And we got the minimum wage passed.
Yeah.
And I'm a retired guy, and I work for minimum wage. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, hooray, hooray, blow my car horn, whatever. And then I find out that American Samoa has been exempted from this. And I know this is not a very sexy topic to talk about American Samoa, but the the point is that it appears to me that the song remains the same, is that House Speaker Ms. Pelosi sold out to corporate interest to Charlie the Tuna, Dole Pineapple Company there. So how can we expect anything different from the Democrats coming in until we break the stranglehold of corporate America on our political system? And I guess that's my question, and I'll shut up and hopefully someone else solve this.
I hope someone can tell us how we can break the stranglehold of corporate America on our political system, because I certainly don't. I don't know. I can only, you know, that you can only assume that the system, our democracy, works best with an active, educated, and informed electorate out there holding our politicians' feet to the fire. And if we can somehow find a way to make them fear us more than they fear the corporations, then we have a fighting chance. Although, as Benjamin Franklin said, democracy is two wolves and a sheep, two wolves and a lamb deciding what to have for dinner.
Absolutely, but is the idea dead that we could not be able to finance the presidential and congressional elections with public financing to keep the corporations out of the thing?
But we're never going to stop the rich from being able to using their money to exert power. And Franklin also said that justice was a well-armed lamb contesting the dinner decision. And we can arm ourselves with other things. There are things in addition to money. There were moneyed interests who supported the Vietnam War. There are moneyed interests who support this war. But we are able, with our votes, with our activism, with our passions, to have some impact. And I think that may be the best we can do.
I certainly hope so. I'm sure you're familiar with Jerry Spence.
Sure, of course. The very famous defense lawyer.
I'm paraphrasing, but he said basically that the U.S. Congress with the whole federal government and corporate interests are locked together like two dogs.
We know what those two dogs do when they're locked.
Exactly, and that they drag each other around, however reluctantly, to the same direction. And just hopefully someone out there that's smarter than I am that could come up with an idea of how we could remove these interests from our government and turn it back over to the people.
But let me say, Danny, though, I don't think it's completely that clear. For example, Walmart, which is a giant corporation which does many things that I may object to, they've also created the market for many green technologies and for many sustainable practices. They have made a big commitment to organic farming. Yes, because it makes economic sense. But it has made economic sense for a long time. But Walmart, because they are so huge, when they decide that they're going to buy organically grown cotton, buy clothes made of organically grown cotton, they can change the agriculture of whole nations. And so my only point is that the power of giant multinational corporations is not inevitably used for evil. And so we as consumers have a good amount of power as well, you know, when we can affect the behavior of those giant corporations, and that in turn can affect the behavior of the politicians. So as, you know, I am a fool, so I am an inherently optimistic guy. So I think that there's room for non-despair vis-a-vis corporate America.
Okay, I just one final comment. I don't want you guys to become too centrist, too middle of the road here when you say that you're on the left. Jim Hightower, I'm sure you're familiar with him, said that there's nothing in the middle of the road except, what is it,
Stripes and dead armadillos.
And dead armadillos. God bless you.
Okay. All right, bless you too, my friend.
From the sunny south, and just don't get too far in the middle.
Okay,
here.
I'll try not to. All right, bye bye.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I don't. Boy, I'm not usually accused of being a centrist. I'm mostly just a contrarian. But it's just like you, Ray. I know you rascal.
It's fun.
It is fun. All right, let's try to get a couple more in here before we have to say goodbye. Alan in Scottsdale, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Whoa,
I tell you, I've been waiting so long, and as I listen, I have more and more opinions to bring forth. Right? If I were in the old country, I'd be considered a griot.
Okay, good. We love those. We love griots. You know, Ray, do you know what a griot is?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
A griot.
Explain it to him later.
I'll look it up.
If Maxine Waters does something, it should not be challenged. This lady does not play politics. Charlie Rangel.
I won't take anybody's word on that, but I'll at least respect that.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. I know I'm much older than you, and I've been watching them for a long time. What happened in politics is you win small victories. Now, just like this man before me, he was critical of the new leader because, you know, she did something, but the islands may have not been affected.
Right.
What you have to do in politics is it's the art of compromise. Sometimes you have to make the small sacrifices, and then you have to revisit that particular issue at a later time to correct it.
But Alan, we had very passionate folks who said that here with this war we're talking about mass killing, and that.
Oh, let me talk about that. I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Okay.
I mean, a couple of speakers ago, there was a gentleman. He was 66.
Yes, that's exactly what he's talking about. Yes.
Right. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I mean, I know exactly what he's talking about. I am the father of two children. One was in Afghanistan. One was in Iraq. I have no more children to send the war for America. Not for oil. Not for profit.
Okay.
No. Now, what happened in Afghanistan, we were trying to track down bin Laden. That should have been. But this thing in Iraq, it never was. Where are those weapons of mass destruction? We need to get our troops home right now.
Wait.
I'm confused, Alan, because you say that, but you also say that politics is the art of compromise. So in order to get what our Democratic friends would say is that in order to get to getting them home, you have to make a series of modulated moves to bring a consensus, to create a consensus, and bring other people along with you.
That's right. What I'm saying is we should get them home as soon as possible, and the steps that the Democrats are using are proper.
Okay.
The fact that they call for this non-binding thing, it is the thing to do. You have to understand that younger people are looking at the Democrats and say, why are they moving so slow? And the reason is because the Bush administration, at the time they've been in office, did not play by the rules, didn't give a damn, they broke laws, they moved things incredibly fast.
Alan, hang on here. I'm going to keep talking to you on the other side of our break, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you so much. It's Nova AM Radio, beloved sibling, and we are here on the Mike Malloy Show with Aaron Freeman and Ray Hanania. We just got a few more minutes, but we're having such a good time with Alan. We thank him for calling. We thank all of you for your interest, for your passion. And that's what Talk Radio is all about. Burn, baby, burn with the passion, the fire of Nova M. You know, interestingly enough, that's Ian Huff on the music there. But George Tenet, former director of the CIA, speaking of secret agents, George Tenet, it was announced today, is going to be publishing his memoir. So we may get some of the inside dirt, the low down and dirty on a man who did some serious down and dirty work.
You think he's writing it to influence the election?
I'm certain that's what he's doing. We were talking with Alan in Scottsdale.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, Alan, thank you very much. You know, you got to have a griot. No talk show is finished without a griot.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
But so now, so again, you have no more children to give, but you do think you basically support the approach of the Democrats in this debate process.
You know, I say get off the Democratic candidate. I mean, the folks back. Give them some room. What happens is you've put them in place to do certain things, but what we're doing is we're looking for instant results. The process by which they use to govern the United States was created by people that traveled by buggies, and what they did was they had a very limited capacity to communicate. Things are not done very quickly.
But now, I will say, Alan, though, you're right, except that the people who, frankly, people die very quickly. And they, every day they do it. And what Ron, I think his point was, and the point of many of our listeners, and even Ray, is enough, enough, enough.
But let me tell you this. Fair what enough. Happens is, do it like we did it in the Vietnam War. The people got in the streets. The people in the streets stopped the war, not the politicians.
Fair enough.
And this is what aggravates me about the people now. They are dumping on the Democrats, saying, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you get into the streets? Why don't you make a phone call?
That's fair. It's a good point, Alan. Thank you very much for calling. All right, be well. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, one more. Ruth in Ruth in Phoenix.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Ruth. Thanks for calling. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Aaron and Ray.
Great. I have a comment on all of the prior callers talking about how we're going to withdraw from Iraq.
Yes.
And I have a statement, and then I have a question, and maybe somebody can answer it. First of all, we just signed 30-year contracts with British Petroleum, Exxon, and Shell. That's for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody out there needs to tell me, how do we get out of that? That's why we're not going anywhere in Iraq.
Well, the simple answer to how we get out of it is that the Iraqis kick us out. The Iraqis just throw the... If the contract, the contract is unenforceable, if the U.S. is kicked out.
Well, isn't British Petroleum actually now owned... I mean, they bought up Amoco, which used to be the American oil company. And they are British. And isn't Exxon, is that the company that's Venezuelan?
Or is that's Citgo is Venezuela.
Citgo, yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean,
Exxon is an American oil company.
Right, it doesn't matter.
So we are screwed. We're in trouble.
Right, we're not going anywhere. I'm telling you all that right now. Get a clue.
They're never, so you think the Iraqis are not winning?
Well, it's not a matter of winning. It's a matter of nobody's going anywhere with those investments by those petroleum companies.
Well, could it also be that, even Al-Qaeda would actually do business with us when it comes to oil through maybe other intermediaries? In other words,
well, I will say that in
withdraw, we'd still manage to figure a way to
have to
sell
protect
oil.
It. Yeah, you have to protect those oil fields, and you know who's going to do it. It's us.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ruth. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, but Aaron, don't you think we should protect those oil fields from us?
That's right. Well, that's why we have hybrid cars and hydrogen cars to protect those oil fields.
Supposedly. I'd love to buy one. They're too expensive.
Well, for now.
I think it's cheaper to buy oil.
For now, just give it a little time. Try to get a couple more calls. Lee in Phoenix, you're on with Ray and Aaron Freeman on the Mike Malloy Show. Lee?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Lee.
This is Lee.
Alrighty.
Hey, Lee.
Okay, now I've got to premise a pretty complex issue in a very short period of time.
Yes, we're off the air very shortly, so.
Okay, first of all, the website that needs to be accessed right now is radicalmiddle.com.
Okay.
That doesn't have anything about being centrist or middle of the aisle.
Okay.
An important thing to remember about this is that we're really dealing with dysfunctional people whose dysfunction have become addictive.
Okay.
And it leads to power addiction. So the big thing is power for all of these sub-things, like racism and corporatism.
Okay.
And these personalities will take any type of organization to where they can get their fix, which is control. Right now the corporate structure is the best because they don't have to jump through as many hoops as like a political system.
You got 30 seconds, Lee. Let's wrap it up.
Doesn't matter, Democrat or Republican. They're both controlled by addicts, by control addicts, and they play the game. But there is a group of young people. I think the best hope is Al Gore, forming a third party that is not into addictive politics.
All right, that's fair enough, Lee. That's all we got time for. Thank you so much.
Oh, wow. Right, thanks, bye-bye. Man.
All right, well, that was that just about wraps it up. This is my name is Ray. No, my name is not Ray Hanania.
And I'm Aaron Freeman.
My name is Aaron Freeman. I'm here with my good buddy Ray Hanania. Thanks once again for spending some time with us, Ray.
No problem.
And thank you, dear listener, for listening to Nova M Radio. We will be back here on the morrow, and so we'll be back here on the morrow. Now, in the meantime, before we zip off, I want to remind you once again, this is Nova M Radio. It's a brand new endeavor. It's a brand new radio network. We think of it as your radio network. We would love for you to join the Nova M Radio Founders Club by going to www.novamradio.com and becoming a founding member. The list of goodies that you will get, the list of emoluments that you will get is too vast. It's too long for me even to explain to you, but believe me, you will really, really enjoy it, and you'll be so proud of yourself. You'll be so grateful. So go to novamradio.com. Now, we'll be back here tomorrow. Now, of course, the Congress is going to be debating for the next couple of days. The vote is going to be on Friday, but there's going to be more debate, and we look forward to sharing more conversations like this. Ray, was this tons of fun?
I loved it. I enjoyed it.
Wonderful, wonderful, folks. Thank you so much for all your participation. Thank you so much for all your passion. We very much appreciate it. We're going to be back here tomorrow on Nova M Radio on the Mike Malloy Show. You truth seekers totally, completely rock. And we're glad that you're rocking with us here on Nova M Radio.
Give me a bank of burning mold. Give me a star in St. Paul. I've seen the future, brother.